Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Follow them. Boom. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 6, entitled The Glories of Sri Advaita Acharya, text number 100. Krishnira samate haita bada bhakta pada. Krishnira samate haita bada bhakta pada. Atma hoite Krishna bhakta haya prema swada. Atma hoite Krishna bhakta haya prema swada. Krishna rasamata haita bada bhakta pada. Krishna rasamata haita bada bhakta pada. Atma haita Krishna bhakta haya prema swada. Atma haita Krishna bhakta haya prema swada. Anyone wants to try? Okay, no men. Any ladies want to try? Very good. Krishna with Lord Krishna. Samata equality. Haiti. Then this, Bada, greater. Bhaktapada, the position of a devotee. Atmahaite, then his own self. Krishna, of Lord Krishna. Bhakta, a devotee. Haya, is. Premashpada, the object of love. Translation. The position of being a devotee is higher than that of equality with Lord Krishna, for the devotees are dearer to Lord Krishna than his own self. Purport. The conception of oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is inferior to that of eternal service to the Lord, because Lord Krishna is more affectionate to devotees than to his personal self. In Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord clearly says, Sadavo ridiyam mayam sadanam ridiyam taham mat anyatena janati naham tebyo managapi. The devotees are my heart, and I am the heart of my devotees. My devotees do not know anything or anyone but me. Similarly, I do not know anyone but my devotees. This is the intimate relationship between the Lord and his devotees. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Ganandana Salakya Shakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamscha. I lost it. Then I can't start again. It's like that. Mind blank. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Satvitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Subhisakam Vitamscha. The position of being a devotee is higher than that of equality with Lord Krishna. For the devotees are dearer to Lord Krishna than his own self. That was Advaitacharya's only desire. He would say, Ami Chaitanya Dasya Muni. I am the servant, the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Mm-hmm. But Advaita Acharya appeared a long time before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, more than 50 years ago before. So therefore, Advaita Acharya had taken initiation from the grand spiritual master or the Param Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, namely Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was such a Vaishnava. There was practically no Vaishnava like Madhavendra Puri on the entire planet. Somehow or other, although he came in the Madhva Sampradaya, where the worship of Radha and Krishna is not really taking place, where Krishna is worshipped alone, Madhavendra Puri developed this deep attachment to worshipping Radha and Krishna. And Madhavendra Puri was deeply overwhelmed by transcendental love of God. And that love of God, of Madhavendra Puri, was so contagious that anyone who came into contact with Madhavendra Puri, somehow or other also became extremely elevated and ecstatic. It is said that Madhavendra Puri was traveling around the world and he did not find anyone. He found many people who were very religious. He found many people who were devoted to Krishna. He found those who were surrendered souls. He found those who were dutiful, those who were serious, those who gave themselves in service to Krishna. But he didn't find anyone who had love for Krishna like he had, until he met Lord Nityananda. When he met Lord Nityananda, there was a recognition between the two. And that recognition between the two became an overwhelming tidal wave. And they embraced each other. And in the embrace, they crashed on the ground and rolled on the ground and kicked and went totally mad. And Madhavendra Puri's disciples were looking. And in this way, Madhavendra Puri was such a devotee. It is said in the Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya from Murari Gupta that that Madhavendra Puri was a Shakti Avesh avatar of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is for that reason that he manifested this extraordinary love of God. So in the same way, Advaita Acharya, when one day Madhavendra Puri came through Bengal, he was on the way to Jagannath Puri to bring sandalwood paste for his deity in Vrindavan. And when he came, he passed by the house of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. And Advaita Acharya immediately felt totally overjoyed. He had not ever met such an amazing personality, so filled with love of God, that Advaita Acharya became overwhelmed with enthusiasm and therefore became the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Of course, much later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth, and much later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, namely Ishvara Puri. So this was the relationship between Advaita Acharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Advaita Acharya was the godbrother of the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that meant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipping him, was bowing down to him. This was unbearable. His whole aim was to be a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he knew very well that Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Lord. But externally, Mahaprabhu kept on acting according to the etiquette of their external roles. So Advaita Acharya was feeling this is a contradiction to my inner mood. He is the Supreme Lord. I am His eternal servant. I am submissive to Him. And yet externally, I am His senior. And externally, He is junior. And therefore, He is constantly offering respect to me. This is unbearable. This became a great thorn in the side of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is also the Supreme Lord. It is said that his name is Advaita. Advaita, Prabhupada quoted the Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Noviyovanam Scha. He is Advaita, he is non-different, yet he appears in many forms, that same Supreme Lord. So Advaita Acharya, is none other than Mahavishnu or Sadashiva combined. On the edge of the spiritual world, the spiritual world being known as Haridham, the abode of Hari, the material world being known as Devidham, the abode of Devi, Durga, Maya. And in between the two, the Viraja River, which is the border between the spiritual and the material world, and in that Viraja, the three modes of material nature are not present. It is also explained that Viraja River is sometimes known to be the causal ocean. It is said that on this causal ocean, Lord Mahavishnu is resting. Lord Mahavishnu is always absorbed in deep meditation. Deep meditation on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That is his eternal occupation. It is said that at times the material energy is manifest, and at other times the material energy is not manifest. And this is going on by cycles. Again and again, the material energy is annihilated. Again and again, there is a period of non-existence. And again, that material energy comes into being. When the material energy is in the state of non-existence, then the potential of the material energy is still there, but it is not present, not manifest. All the living beings, all the elements have now entered into the body of Mahavishnu. And there, all the energies and all the souls are residing within that body of the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu. And the material energy is simply not present, but the potential is there. That potential is known as pradhana. Then, when the time arises for another day of Lord Brahma to appear, then, at that point, the Lord glances upon that pradhana, that potential. It is mentioned in the Upanishad, sa eksata. He glances. The Brahma Samhita explains that glance of Mahavishnu upon the pradhana is activating that pradhana. It said that pradhana then becomes impregnated with living beings. It is said that Shambhu or Sadashiva becomes the glance of Mahavishnu. Sadashiva is the expansion of Lord Mahavishnu, who becomes the actual glance. And that glance comes in touch with the material energy, and then yata dadi vikara vishesa yogat, then a transformation, a vikara, takes place. And at that time, Lord Sadashiva, who is an expansion of Lord Mahavishnu and who is Vishnu Tattva, transforms into Shiva Tattva. Then he is in a different category. He's no longer in the category of the Supreme Lord, he has transformed into a category of his own. That Shiva or Rudra is the demigod Shiva who is residing in the material world. And Sada Shiva is the expansion of Mahavishnu residing in the spiritual world. Advaita Acharya is the combination of that Mahavishnu and Sada Shiva. And naturally, he is always submissive to the Supreme Lord. In the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, there is the story of a Brahmana who was a householder and who was begetting children. And then, somehow or other, after their birth, these children would mysteriously disappear. So the Brahmana was just totally shocked and cried out, "How is this possible that this is going on in this kingdom? It means that there are many sinful activities going on in this kingdom. Otherwise, such things cannot occur. It means that the royal order has become corrupted. It means that there is no more kshatriya in this world. It means that there are only eunuchs." Right. So Arjuna heard that, right? So that was like his kshatriya heart deeply wounded, right? His pride hurt. Arjuna came forward and said, "Wait a minute. I will protect you. What will you do? Huh? What will you do?" "No, I am Arjuna. Yes. I have this bow, Gandiva. Yes. This bow. I have received it from Agni himself. Yes. With this bow, I will stand guard, and I will guard the 10 directions. No one in the 3 worlds will be able to approach your house." So, all right, the Brahmana was satisfied. Okay then. And then the next thing, in due course of time, when his wife was expecting again, then yes, the Brahmana, he called Arjuna, and Arjuna stood there. Directions. Right? There was no question of anybody escaping the vigilance of Arjuna. And yes, the lady gave birth and there were the cries of a baby. And then next moment, the cries of a Brahmana. "Alas, alas, alas, how could I put my faith in this fool Arjuna?" What I didn't mention was that Arjuna had promised to the Brahmana, if I'm not successful, then I will enter into a slow burning fire. Well, Arjuna went looking. He went looking for that lost child. He went everywhere. He even went to Yamaraj. No trace of the child. So Arjuna was getting ready to enter into the slow burning fire. And then Krishna came. "Arjuna, no, please don't do that." And he took Krishna in his chariot. And in the chariot, they traveled throughout all the layers that surround the universe. We know that the universe is hollow in the middle and has a thick shell of different layers. A layer of earth, a layer of water, a layer of fire, a layer of air, a layer of ether, and like that, there are different layers. And Krishna was traveling with Arjuna on his chariot through these layers, and it became extremely dark. And Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra to light up the way. And then finally, after a long, long journey, they came outside of the material universe, and they came to the residence of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu offered his obeisances to Lord Krishna and said, Oh, my Lord, I am so happy to see you. I have been in such separation. I couldn't tolerate it any longer. I just couldn't tolerate it any longer to be separated from you. I had to see you." It is for that reason that Lord Mahavishnu had stolen the children. Right? He had stolen all these children, knowing well that Arjuna and so on, and you know, and that then Krishna would save him, and that in that way he would get a darshan of Krishna. So that is that same Advaita Acharya who is eternally such a devotee of Krishna, who is eternally so much absorbed in service to Krishna. Then the Brahma Samhita also describes that there is Svetadvip. Svetadvip. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that that Svetadvip is non different from Navadvip. And just as Golok Vrindavan is eternal, there is also a counterpart of Golok, which is eternal, known as that Svetadvip, that eternal abode, where the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are eternally going on. And there Advaita Acharya is eternally engaged in that Svetadvip also. There, Lord Mahavishnu is sporting around. There he is ever youthful. There he is not in the body of an old man. There he is dancing in ecstasy. And we can understand that in that eternal Svetadvip, Sankirtan is simply relishing and glorifying Krishna. There's no such thing as delivering conditioned souls, because there are no conditioned souls. But then, once in a day of Brahma, once in a day of Brahma, there is that special time. Once in a day of Brahma, there is that unique time when the time has come to not only be absorbed in the ecstatic glorification of Krishna, but to reach out a hand to anyone and everyone. Advaita Acharya is getting excited. Advaita Acharya is eager. Advaita Acharya appeared first in this world. Advaita Acharya then stayed in... Advaita Acharya came from East Bengal in Sylhet. Recently, we went there to the birthplace of Advaita Acharya, and it was interesting because... the birthplace of Advaita Acharya is situated exactly on the edge of Godadesh, the land of Bengal, the land of Lord Chaitanya. There are the plains of Goda, and then you get a river, the Sunam River, and then right behind the Sunam River are the Meghalaya Hills. And these Meghalaya Hills that's India. And they are tribal hills, and people there are different, quite different. They eat snakes and so many things, so they say. And there's another custom, which is even worse, maybe. That is, it is says that when a man gets married, he has to move into the house of his in-laws. And when his father-in-law, by chance, comes to die, then he has to marry his mother-in-law as well. Yeah. Encyclopedia Britannica, that one. Anyway, so Advaita Acharya is living right there on the edge of the land of Goda, on the bank of the Sunam River, and there he appeared, just similar to his residence on the periphery of the spiritual world, right on the edge of the Viraja, now on the edge of the Sunam River. So that was interesting. Then Advaita Acharya moved to Shantipur. His grandfather had already lived in Shantipur. His grandfather had been a minister to a Hindu king. Just at that time, the Muslims were beginning to take over. They were spreading all over Asia, and little by little, they were establishing Islam. And slowly, slowly, kings were everywhere converting, all the way to places like Java, places like Malaysia, the whole Malay region at that time, Trent kind of was converted to Islam just before Advaita Acharya, during the time of his grandfather. Then Advaita Acharya settled in Shantipur. It said it was very common because people from East Bengal would not stay there because they say that the Pandavas didn't grace that land. So the western part was considered more auspicious. But that was only an external excuse, obviously. Because the attraction of Sridhar Mayapur was pulling everyone like a magnet to the area of Navadvip and surrounding regions of the Dham. Advaita Acharya settled in Shantipur, and there he began to worship the Lord. One time in the Gautamiya Tantra, Advaita Acharya read a verse, and that verse explained that if one worships me with a leaf and some water, I have nothing in my possession to repay that. Therefore, all I can do is offer myself. When Advaita Acharya saw that, then he was elated. He jumped up and down and said, I found it, I found it. And then he started to worship the Shaligram Shila with tulsi leaves and with Ganga Jal. Was it worship or was it a conspiracy? He simply aimed to force the Lord, because he knew he will be forced to appear. There is no way that he can avoid it. He must appear now. Here it is, in black and white. It's written, he's obliged. I will force him. That was his nature. Advaita Acharya was a very forceful person. His voice was very, very loud. It is said, Hunkar, Hunkar, he would loudly call out, thundering voice. A big, powerful man with a loud, thundering voice from an aristocratic Brahmana family. Yes, and a reformer, a revolutionary, because although he took birth in an aristocratic Brahmana caste, and although he was extremely learned and therefore highly respected as a great pandit, he did things that you weren't supposed to do. There was this Haridas Thakur. He was a devotee, of course, but a Muslim at the same time, if you know what I mean. He was a Yavana, and all right, it's nice that he's chanting Hare Krishna, but you know, I mean, at the same time, yeah, you can't get too close to these kind of people, you know what I mean? You keep some sort of distance from them. And this Advaita Acharya, he was just inviting this Haridas into his house every day, and he's feeding him every day in his house instead of outside. You know what I'm saying? It was outrageous. People were talking about it, but everyone was afraid to come in front of Advaita Acharya, so they were talking behind his back. And then he did something inconceivable. He does this big Shraddha ceremony, right, for his ancestors. And naturally, there are several Brahmanas present in the whole thing. And then, in front of everybody, he simply announced that Haridas Thakur is such a person that if you make the offering of the Shraddha Patra to Haridas Thakur, it is as good as giving it to thousands of Brahmanas. And then he gives it to him. Well, you can imagine the drama in the community of Shantipur. So, but somehow or other, he was so powerful that they couldn't excommunicate him. Although that's what they would generally do. But he had arguments for everything he did, and he would challenge them. All right, present arguments from the scripture. And then what could they say? In this way, Advaita Acharya was a revolutionary. And it is said that Srivas Thakur, who was also an elder to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Advaita Acharya together were the leaders of the Vaishnavas. And daily, in the house of Srivas, kirtan would go on in the courtyard. But people were getting upset. They were saying, all this noise, our whole village will be destroyed. The Muslims will become all agitated. Yes, they are chanting so loud in our village. And what will happen is the government will come in and they will finish off our entire village. Yeah, logical. I mean, they were occupied on the Muslim rule and they were taking so much risk. So everyone's saying, this is outrageous. And where is this authorized anyway? And which scripture does it say that one can just howl and chant this mantra so out loud? So there was a lot of criticism, a lot. And the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, is describing how these people were simply atheists. The environment in Navadvip was that the brahmanas were mostly smarta brahmanas. The smarta communities of brahmanas are brahmanas that follow the smriti. They are, because the four Vedas basically give worship to Indra and so on, but it is kind of limited. And then the Dharma Shastra gives a much more complete picture for dealing with all the different rites of passage in life. Therefore, they followed the Manusmriti. But then the smartas, who were spread all over India, Kashmir and the south, had become influenced by Sankaracharya and had taken up the philosophy of impersonalism. And Sankaracharya had presented a type of worship called the Panchopasana, the five deities. These five deities were Vishnu, they were Shiva, they were Ganapati, Surya, and Durga, or Kali, and so on. Yes. So, and it said that these are all manifestations of the same impersonal absolute truth. So in Bengal, the smarta brahmanas who claimed their brahminical status by birthright were all worshipping, they're all Panchopasana worshippers, and they were all focusing on Kali, on Durga. And they're all engaging in such pujas. And sometimes on the puja plate, right, just on the little flower plate, they would put some meat. Yeah, put a little meat. And, you know, like then have a little cup, put a little wine. Right? There is a system of worship, the Pancha Makara, where they are offering five things. Right? Five things, flesh, fish, wine, grain soaked in water, which ferments. It's also alcoholic. And then there was some ritualistic indication of sexual activity also by gestures. And some even had some tantric influence and went all the way by putting it into action, known as Vamanachari Sahaja or left-wing Sahajas. That was the climate. Advaita Acharya was cutting through it. Advaita Acharya and Srivas. So, Vrindavan Das Thakur says they're atheist. They wanted to destroy the house of Srivas. And Advaita Acharya said, if now the Lord does not appear, I will take my four-handed foreman with my Sudarshan Chakra, I will cut the heads of these atheists. But he didn't do that. He continued to worship the Supreme Lord for the purpose of making him appear, because only Krishna himself can give Krishna prema. No one else. Therefore, Advaita Acharya was not interested in cutting heads or in annihilating demons and establishing principles of Dharma. Dharma samstapanartya. That he could have done, but he was not interested. He wanted Krishna Prem established. Such Krishna Prem, Advaita Acharya himself could not give. Only Krishna could give. But why? Why did Advaita Acharya have to worship Lord Chaitanya or Krishna to appear? Isn't Krishna scheduled to appear once in a day of Brahma as the Channa avatar in the age of Kali? Then what was the need? The reason that Advaita Acharya had to worship, that someone had to worship, is that Lord Krishna is described as impartial. He's impartial. It is said. Therefore, Krishna sarvasyacham ridisanivistu matasmitir gyanam apuvanamscha. He helps living beings to remember and he helps living beings to forget whatever they desire. If they want to forget him, all right, forget. If they want to remember, Krishna helps accordingly. Krishna is impartial. But the devotee becomes partial. Therefore, it takes a devotee to make the Lord appear and to make the Lord become partial. So, therefore, one devotee had to do that. So, that was Advaita Acharya. So, Advaita Acharya's role in the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not to be underestimated or ignored. It's not some sort of, what's the English word for a figurant, a figurant? What's the word? I don't know that word. Someone who's on the stage in a place like a small part just to sort of make a nice picture. Extra, yeah, I guess. There must be an official word for it. Whatever it is. Someone like that. Just someone who's walking around. He's not like that. Advaita Acharya is a main player. Advaita Acharya actually is one who has great compassion. Because it is Advaita Acharya as Mahavishnu who is interacting with the jivas. Krishna, Vrindavanam Paricaya Padam Ekam Nagacchati. He is eternally in Vrindavan and he doesn't take one step out of Vrindavan. He's absorbed in his transcendental pastimes. But Advaita Acharya is particularly dealing with the conditioned souls. See, he's like the root. You could say the original compassion. He's not only the origin of the creation. We see that as Mahavishnu, he's the origin of the creation. But he's also the origin of the compassion of the Lord. Of the compassionate nature of the Lord. So in that way, Advaita Acharya is a very important personality. And we can enter into that mood. Advaita Acharya, then time moved along and Lord Chaitanya appeared and it became clear who Lord Chaitanya was, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He revealed himself in the house of Srivas Thakur. He sat for 21 hours on the altar and he was giving each devotee some signs that he was really the Supreme Lord. And Advaita Acharya had been daily lecturing for many, many years on the Bhagavad Gita. And he had tried to give purports of the Bhagavad Gita. He was trying to give the Gitara Satyapat. Prabhupada translates that. He says, the Gitara Satyapat, the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So we can see where Prabhupada took that from. It's right there. In chapter 17, text 18, Adi Lila, in the purport, the last line, Gitara Satyapat, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Very interesting. So Advaita Acharya was trying to do that. He was trying to give the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. At times, he was looking at different verses and thinking, how am I going to explain all these verses in a personal way? And then he would fast. If he couldn't explain a verse properly, then he would just fast. And then at night, Lord Chaitanya would appear in his dream and explain the verse to him. And then the next day he would explain. And like this, again and again, he received instructions of the Supreme Lord. Then, Advaita Acharya was, during that Mahaprakash Leela, when Lord Chaitanya was seated on the altar of Srivas, at that time, Lord Chaitanya said, remember that there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. I have a bad memory, so I can't memorize such verses. I mean, can only memorize a few. But basically, a verse describing that in the 13th chapters, that the hands of the Lord, the faces of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Yes. And Advaita Acharya was puzzled. How am I going to explain this one in a personal way? It looks like impersonalism. It looks completely like impersonalism. Then Lord Chaitanya clarified that and explained that the verse was speaking about the super soul. Of course, his hands, his faces, his eyes are everywhere. The super soul. That I didn't think of that. In this way, Lord Chaitanya clarified the question. And it was the question that was on Advaita Acharya's mind at that time. And in this way, Advaita Acharya could accept, yes. He's not merely sitting there. He knows. He knows what's puzzling me, and he knows the answers. In this way, Advaita Acharya submitted to him. So time moved along, and so many pastimes took place, and our time is also moving along. So what to do? We're moving along. And on one occasion, Advaita Acharya and all the devotees were engaged in kirtan, and Advaita Acharya said, today we're not going to have a regular kirtan. Today we're going to have a kirtan glorifying Lord Chaitanya. And all the devotees had mixed feelings. On the one hand, they were ecstatic about the idea, and on the other hand, they were afraid of Lord Chaitanya because they knew that Lord Chaitanya might not like it. But then Advaita Acharya said, no, we're going to do it. Then they were afraid of Advaita Acharya. So then they did it, right? And then Advaita Acharya says, I will not sing because my voice is so loud that if I sing, you will all become afraid. So I will only dance. So then Advaita Acharya was dancing in great ecstasy and all the others were singing. But then at one point, Advaita Acharya also began to sing and made up a song. Which is there in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. If I would have prepared the lecture, I would have brought it, but I'm the stand-in, so I didn't bring it. It's in my room. But Advaita Acharya wrote a song about the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Then Advaita Acharya, of course, continued in so many pastimes with the Lord. Yeah. He was, of course, having that special ras with Nityananda. There's a lot of pastimes with Prasadam and Advaita Acharya, and he would invite Lord Chaitanya for just a little bit of suck. Little. And then Lord Chaitanya would come and it would be like one man. One man is 40 kilos of rice, right? A hill of 40 kilos of rice and so many preps, and then Lord Chaitanya said, oh, you made such a nice offering, just give me little Mahaprasadam. And then Advaita Acharya would say, my Lord, I know very well who you are. I know what you can eat. You are eating 56 times a day. Chappan bhog you are taking in Jagannath Puri. You can't fool me. Here is your seat. Just take it. So Lord Chaitanya sat down and he had to take it. But he was saying, this is too much. And you know, I mean, this is not right for a sannyasi. Anyway, take it. And then, meanwhile, Nityananda was saying, like, what is this? You know, I mean, we're hardly getting anything to eat. We have to go hungry today. And all this is going on. And then Advaita Acharya said, who is this Nityananda anyway? We don't know his caste and this and that. And he's like, just here and complaining. And he's spoiling my whole caste. He's a reject Paramahamsa. And then, you know, Nityananda just grabbed some rice and he just threw it at Advaita Acharya. When the rice touched his body, he started dancing in ecstasy. So these things were going on also. And so between Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, it was always going on like that. They had water sports in Jagannath Puri and in the Dumna Sarovar. And it was wild, wild, wild. And Nityananda was every time splashing water in the eyes of Advaita Acharya. And he was getting like very upset. This is not respectful. I'm a brahmana from an aristocratic family. Like that. These pastimes are going on. Finally, I must... There's the chapter 6, which is dedicated to Advaita Acharya. And in this chapter, there's this beautiful verse, the position of being a devotee is higher than that of equality with Lord Krishna. For the devotees are dearer to Lord Krishna than his own self. It's so brilliant. Think about that. It's so amazing. Yeah? And it's like Prabhupada immediately takes it. Yeah, the conception of becoming one with the Supreme Lord, it's lower. Right, than being a servant of the Lord, because the servant of the Lord is more dear to him than his own self. So it's a deep, deep verse and very, very important point for us to understand. And it said, Lord Krishna considered his devotees greater than himself. In this connection, the scriptures provide an abundance of evidence. The sweetness of Lord Krishna is not to be tasted by those who consider themselves equal to Krishna. It is to be tasted only through the sentiment of servitude. Therefore, even Lord Chaitanya himself, he has to come as a servant also. So, this is there. The last point is chapter 12. And in chapter 12, it is the six sons of Advaita Acharya I mentioned in the Adi Leela. And these six sons, three of them were devotees, and they were great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And the other three, they didn't accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Lord, but they accepted Advaita Acharya as the Supreme Lord. Yeah? And of course, themselves as sons of God. Yes. And in this way, there is a lineage, the Advaita Vamsa. Yes. And of course, there is a lot that came in that lineage. There's a whole movement that developed around Advaita Acharya that unfortunately is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj as a branch that became of the Chaitanya tree that became cut off of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and that dried up. There are many books written in that tradition. I knew it was my voice. I heard this record. I really got distracted. It's like I knew it was me. You know. That's too much. Get another dial tone. You know. Anyway, so this Advaita Vamsa has produced different books about Advaita Acharya, and sometimes information comes in from that, like the Advaita Prakash, the Advaita Vilas, or the Advaita Mangal. There are also about Nityananda, no, I can't remember now. Anyway, these books are not accepted by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who in his introduction of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is writing that these are not bona fide, also not the Advaita Prakash. What to do? C'est la vie. Yes, so in this, that's So even in the present day, this also is existing, the split. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat are providing ample of information about Advaita Acharya, as you heard. Because I'm not finished, I only did it short. I left out many interesting details that I could have mentioned. Anyway, if we can remember two main points, maybe the point that the original compassion of the Supreme Lord begins with Advaita Acharya, and the second point that Advaita Acharya is in this mood of servitude to the Lord, and that is really the very essence of spiritual life. Then everything will become most ecstatic. And that is why Advaita Acharya is a most ecstatic personality. We see also in Mayapur, now that the Panchatattva are there, there is regularly something happening with Advaita Acharya. Devotees go on the altar, and there are things going on with Advaita Acharya. You see a devotee walking with a band-aid on his head. You go, what happened? He said, it's Advaita Acharya. Yeah? Advaita Acharya is doing things in Mayapur. A little slap sometimes. Any questions, any comments? Information overload. Not a book, a song. I can't hear you. No, you missed something.
You mixed up two things.
Advaita Acharya wrote a song earlier, and that song is in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, bona fide. That's what we have. He didn't write a book. The books that were written, known as the Advaita Prakash, Advaita Vilas, Advaita Mangal, are written by other personalities. And they are not accepted as bona fide by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They are apparently later productions, which were written later. And in those books, the roles are reversed. Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Lord, and he's blessing everyone. And in those books, you see how devotees, how even Lord Chaitanya goes there to study from Advaita Acharya. And there it is described that Haridas Thakur was a disciple of Advaita Acharya. Although Haridas was close, it's not known that he is a disciple of Advaita Acharya, but such things are mentioned. Then there is also a description how after Advaita Acharya departed from this world, that Sita, his wife, Sita Thakurani, became a guru. And that actually two male devotees approached her for initiation, and that she said, no, how can I initiate male? I will not initiate any male. Then they came back after some time in female forms, and she verified it, that the transformation was really taking place, and then she initiated them. That story is also there. Right? So, but all those stories we don't accept as bona fide. So there are many, many stories flying around there, and so on. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has said that has not accepted those.
Yeah. You have to speak a little louder.
What is he saying? Ah, Radharani. I'm sorry, accent. Radharani. Radharani is not the supreme personality of Godhead. Radharani is the Shakti, Shakti Tattva. She's the energy, the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the supreme personality of Godhead. So she is also the embodiment of compassion. In fact, right, if you really think about it, Lord Chaitanya is most compassionate. Right? Nityananda is supposed to be more compassionate. And Krishna anyway is very compassionate. Right? So we are like basically, mercy comes from all sides. And that is really how it operates. Like we are in these kirtans, and it is very, very nice. And somehow or other, it touches us a little. Right? We get swept up while it's going on, but the heart still got a lot of hardness inside. Right? A lot of attraction to the material energy, a lot of pride, a lot of wrong determination, and all that. But somehow or other, this kirtan, there's something about it, something electrifying. It's all mercy. And it's by this mercy that we are sustained and that we're going on. And there's mercy everywhere, all the time. Yeah? That this mercy reached our countries. Right? Like we can say that who have appeared in the Netherlands can say that we have taken the lowest birth, right? We can proudly say that we've taken the lowest birth because our country is the lowest country, right? It's known like that, you know? The Netherlands, right? Peiba, right? It's really low, right? In all respect, believe me. it's like, so very befitting, right? We can truly say we've taken the lowest birth. That's our claim, right? But somehow or other, this mercy of Advaita Acharya and of all the other personalities touching us. But today, the appearance day of Advaita Acharya, his mercy is especially present. So today is the day to connect with the mercy of Advaita Acharya and to actually appreciate how much Advaita Acharya is doing for us. And we can pray to Advaita Acharya that we may have the strength to somehow or other continue to take shelter and take shelter more of the Sankirtan movement. Okay, we are finished. Hare Krishna. Not finished? That was just a gesture. No. Okay, yeah. If you do that in an auction, you buy the painting. Okay. Advaita Acharya, Avibhav Maha Mahutsava Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai, Shishi Panchatattva Ki Jai.